Hello, and welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle, and I'm sitting here with, introduce yourself,
Kayla Hewitt.
Hi to the masses. She happens to be my little sister, and she will be joining me for the year. She doesn't know it yet, but she will be joining me for the year as my co-host for the 250. She's a freshman this year. So exciting.
I am.
And how's Georgetown?
Georgetown's good. A little tiring, but the first week is always going to be that way, I feel. But yeah, so far so good.
You're doing it.
I am the cooler sister, just by the way.
She's not.
In case anyone's listening
she's
and wondering.
She's not. We'll let the people decide. How about that?
Let's just say, as my parents had more children, it got better as it went
okay.
along.
Okay, you know what?
And I'm the last.
Let's get on topic. How about that? So today is the first episode of the 2017-2018 250 season, podcasting season for us. So we decided to do something a little different. Now for every episode, we are going to choose a random number between 1 and 250 and pick the movie that way. This week we chose number 186 and it's called Wild Tales or Relatos Salvajes.
Wow, that is a beautiful accent.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a 2014 Argentinian movie. It's kind of an anthology. But yeah, it was really interesting. I feel like first we can do plot summary.
Okay.
IMDb.
Oh, okay.
It's always good. Okay. So yeah, it's not a linear movie. It's kind of, it's just like small short stories that form like its runtime.
Yeah, it's very much just like a collection of short stories that are just kind of thrown into this movie. But
yeah.
It's really good. Like there's no relation at all.
Yeah.
Between them.
Well, they're kind of related. Like we can talk about like themes in a minute for later. But yeah, so the first, I guess we'll just describe each short story and then talk about them that way, I guess, and then talk about their overarching
themes.
Yeah. So the first one is called Pasternak, and on IMDb it says, while being on a plane, a model, a music critic, and a music critic realize they have a common acquaintance called Pasternak. Soon they discover that every passenger and crew member on board know Pasternak. Is this a coincidence? And by the end of the short story, it's not.
For sure not.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think this movie just, like, hits the ground running.
Cause it does.
Yeah. So, at the beginning, you're like, oh, this is interesting, I guess. They, like,
she, like, gets on a plane. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then it goes 0 to 100 just so quick.
Yeah. So, what happens is, like, everyone on the plane ends up, like, having known this guy, like, at some point in their lives.
Yeah.
And then the flight attendant's like, he's the pilot of this plane. And they've all, like, screwed him over in some capacity.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, he flies the plane into his parents' house, who apparently are the root of all of his problems.
Yeah.
It is wild.
It's just crazy. I was, like, sweating the whole... like, as things progress, as, like, the model talks to the music critic or whatever, and then I was like, oh, this is, like, fun. Like,
yeah.
People getting to know each other. And then all of a sudden, and then the flight attendant comes out, and I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh God.
What's happening? And you're like, they won't, like, actually, like, this isn't actually what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
He's not gonna crash this plane, and he, like, fully... That's, like, the end of the story, and you're like...
Okay. Oh, cool. And then roll title sequence.
Yeah. And you're like, all right. Yeah, it really sets the tone for the
movie.
Entire movie. Like, there were so many times in this movie, like, I was in my room watching it on my TV, and, like, there were times I would just, like, audibly, like, gasp. And like,
yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah. I was, like, watching it with headphones, and I think my roommate thought I was watching, like, Grey's Anatomy. So, yeah, that was interesting. But not what I was expecting at all. But I should have expected it, because it was... is related to Almodovar.
Yeah.
Which
so,
he just does crazy crimes.
Right, I guess you know film.
Yeah, I've seen films before.
Yeah, background on the film. It's produced by Pedro Almodovar, who's a very prominent and famous Spanish director. He's from Spain. He's Spanish. He's done...
Talk to Her.
The one with the... He
Salma
does,
Hayek? What's her
there's,
name?
Not Salma Hayek. Penelope Cruz.
Wow, that's horrible that I mixed
Voltaire.
Them up. Yeah.
Yeah, and his movies are also very... there's another one. I'm so excited about Flight Attendants. His are also very, like, a lot of unexpected things happen. It's very weird circumstances. So this was, like, right up his alley, but it... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely...
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, one thing that struck me about all of the different stories was the camera work. There was so many, like, different, like, lots of, like, interesting camera movements,
mm-hmm.
and, like, in this one, like, when she's talking to the composer guy for the first time on the plane, there's, like, this slow tracking shot toward them, and it, like, kind of builds a little bit of tension, but you don't know why
mm-hmm.
until, you know, everyone dies.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, yeah, he loves this, like, revolving shots
he does.
As well.
He does,
Okay, and then the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, speaking of cam shot, like, in the next one, This one's about a waitress.
Yeah.
Who is in this restaurant that is, like, pretty much empty, and this guy comes in, and all of a sudden she's struck with, like, anxiety. And you've come to find out that this guy is the reason his dad killed himself.
Yeah, and then he tried to, like, date his mom and her mom, and, like, it was a whole... He basically, like, ruined her family.
Yeah.
And so she, like, comes into the... She, like, works at a diner. She comes into the kitchen, and it's just her and this other lady in this late-night diner. And the cook's like, we should kill him. And
just, like, no sweat about it. Like, very Heathers-esque. Yeah. Just, like, just throw some poison in the mess.
It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It'll be great.
And so, yeah, I don't know why, but there's a shot at the beginning of that where she's, like, washing dishes or something, and it's coming in, like, on her back, and it's a lot of the shots in the movie are very, like, reminiscent of, like, horror films.
Yeah.
But, like you said, like, in very just plain-seeming scenes until things escalate.
Yeah, there's that one shot in the second one where she's, like, cutting the potatoes, and it zooms in on her hand, then it pulls up to her face. Yeah. Yeah, the camera work in this movie is really cool. But the other thing is, like, we're talking about it like it's, like, a really tense, like, scary thing. Like, the movie is really funny.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's, like, the thing, it's, like, I think the reason behind this is because, like, so the English translation is Wild Tales, but Salvajes means, like, savage. Yeah. And, like, at the title sequence is, like, every actor, like, next to an animal. Like, so they have the actor's, like, name, and then instead of, like, their face or something, it's, like, an animal. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is just kind of, like giving the impression of, like, people kind of, like, giving into their animal instincts almost in the movie. And so, I loved that part of the movie.
Yeah. I think that the... like, an alternative name for the movie could literally just be, like, Revenge. Because everything is just people not being able to deal, especially...
in the third one.
The third one makes me so mad, and I was sweating so much
the whole time. I was waiting for someone to die, because I was like, all right, I get the gist, people are gonna die in every one. But no one died in this one, but, like, he just...
No, they die.
Who died?
They both die.
Oh, wait, no, the third one's the other one. The road rage one. That one was wild.
That was, like, crazy.
Wild. So this one doesn't go 0 to 60, but it like, escalates really. It's, like, builds and builds and builds until it's just, like, insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's these two men, and, like, there's one guy in his, like, expensive, like, Audi car, and the other guy's in his, like truck or whatever. And the Audi guy, like, is trying to, like, cut him off on the road, and he calls him a redneck. And then the guy in the Audi, his car breaks down, and then the guy catches up with him, and, like, he, like, ruins his car.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, like, rams his car down into a ditch.
Yeah.
And then basically it just, like, escalates until both of them are dead because their cars blew up.
Yeah.
And it's, like, insane.
It's, like, what kills me about it is, so, like, the whole time, just, like, just go.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right? Like, you just really go. Don't have... I think this is, like, kind of the most animalistic. Because they're both giving in to their baser instincts of just, like, anger and rage.
Yeah.
And, like, wanting to have revenge and, like, toxic masculinity, if you will. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's insane.
And I also think, like, I think it's really interesting, the choice of characters, because you do have, like, the rugged, redneck, quote-unquote, guy who you would expect to kind of fall into these instincts, and then you have the kind of city dweller in his Audi.
Kind of, like, soft hand, like, never done a hard day's work in his life.
Exactly, and you would think that he would have the sense to be scared enough to just be like,
But just, like, I don't know, like, basic fear, or, like, you know, just, like, yeah, or, like, just, like, softness, you know?
Yeah, because even, like, I thought I heard a fire alarm. Even after that first one, so the guy, like, basically destroys his car, and then he's like, all right, cool, and he's, like, about to drive away, and then this guy feels the need to throw him into a ditch.
Yeah.
And then the guy who, what can we call him? Rough?
Redneck
guy.
That seems derogatory at this point. You know, we're going with it.
He, like, somehow survives his car, like, flipping on its upside down.
And then they, like, start strangling each other with their seatbelts. It's a whole thing.
And then he's like, insane. Let me just blow this car up right quick.
And then, yeah.
It's crazy.
No, it's, yeah. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's wild.
Yeah. That one definitely was, like, made me the most, like, anxious. Yeah.
Oh, what I was gonna say is, that one reminded me of Fight Club. You know this? Have you seen Fight Club?
I have not seen
Fight Club. Okay, so there's a part in Fight Club where Tyler Durden, like, gives the assignment to, like, all of his, like, little disciples to just, like, start a fight with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just start one. And he's like, most people won't, so you have to keep, like, keep pushing, and break someone to the point where they will actually throw a punch back.
Yeah.
And that kind of reminded me
of that.
Of that, because, like, the guy in the Audi, you wouldn't have expected to, like, do what he did. But then, like, I guess he got pushed so far and, like, cared so much about his car that he decided to, like, just, attack back.
Yeah, and then this was the first one. I think there's at least one other story where the music choice is just really interesting. Because there's this one scene where they're both, like, in this ditch in the car fighting, like, with, like, 2 inches of space between each other. So they can't really, like, really fully swing.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of, like, pathetically hitting each other in the face. And, like, kind of the more realistic sounds fade out. And I forget what song it is. It's, like, some, like, old-timey song.
But yeah, that's where the humor comes in. And I also, at the end of that episode, so they're, like, they both are in the car, and the car, like, explodes. And the last shot is them, like, it looks like their skeletons are, like, hugging, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, that was really funny. And they're like, what do you think it is? He's like, crime of passion.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty great. And then the fourth one was the one I was thinking about, was this guy who gets his car towed, and he just, like, dwells on it. Like, he cannot let anything go. And, like, basically starts with his car getting towed, and his whole life just goes downhill. His wife decides to divorce him because his car got towed, and he couldn't let it go, so he missed his daughter's birthday, so he gets divorced, and then, like, he loses his job, I think, and, like, it's a whole thing. And then, he basically decides, they establish at the beginning that he's an engineer. He's, like, one of those engineers that, like, blows up buildings and knows how to work with bombs. So he decides to leave his car somewhere, like, in a no parking zone, and get it towed to only have it blow up in the toll zone.
But it doesn't kill anyone.
It doesn't kill anyone, but what it does is, like, he, like, there's, like, a whole controversy behind it, and he, like, I think he goes to prison. Like, I think the last scene is him in prison.
Yeah.
But also, he becomes this, like, public figure of, like, they call
fighting
him...
Fighting the man.
Yeah, La Bombita, which is, like, little bomber, like, bomber or something. Yeah. And he, so, it's, like, he becomes a public figure, and his life, like, gets, like, magically better because he becomes this public figure. Like, his daughter comes for his birthday, and, like, everyone in prison just loves him. And he's, like, hugging everyone. And his wife's, like, I think he's back together with his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many questions. Like, one, like, what kind of prison is just like, yeah, we'll throw you a birthday party. Let the wife and kid come in. We'll
it'll get be great.
What? And then everyone's, like, applauding him.
Yeah. And he's, like, hugging everyone.
I'm like, this is not what prison is. Like, I haven't been, but, like, I'm guessing no.
This seems wrong. I've seen Orange is the New Black. I don't think this is what prison is.
I get the concept.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think what the movie is trying to do here is, like, it's, like, not something it's, like, prescribing people to do, but it's kind of, like, acting out people's wildest, like, revenge, like, almost fantasies. Mm-hmm. And so this one, it's, like, he stuck it to the man, and everything worked out okay, and it was amazing. And if you do this, it probably won't happen that way. But, like, it's nice to, like, fantasize about and that and give in to your basest desire for, like, to, like, stick it to the man like that, you know?
But, like, don't try this at home.
Yeah, don't do that. Please don't.
But once again, he didn't kill anyone. That's, like, the one where no one dies. No, there's two where no one dies.
No, this is one. No, yeah, two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then the next one is, like, infuriating. Like, this one I audibly gasped in. It's the one with the kid hits, so basically this one's kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one's wild. Honestly, yeah. Aptly named movie. But so this rich kid, like, got in his parents' car, he drunk drove and hit a pregnant lady. And so you come in on, like, the kid has woken up his parents and, like, tells his parents, and he's, like, crying. The kid's, like, crying this whole episode. And the parents basically try and make it so that their gardener takes the fall for him. And the kid will have, like, the rest of his life, and they're, like, willing to pay and, like, bribe the prosecution.
Yeah.
And it's this whole discussion, like, everyone starts, like, trying to extort the dad for more money and this deal. So they finally make the deal, and then, like, the gardener's like, fine, yeah. So he does it for, like, $500,000. They make the deal, and he comes out of the house, and there are people protesting, and the pregnant woman's husband who died just, like the last shot is him just, like, hitting him with, like, a hammer in the head, like, hitting the guy who took the fall. It's wild.
Yeah, like, that made me so sad.
I was so mad.
Especially because, like, the son was such a little, like...
But the thing is, like, I felt like the dad was worse. Because I feel like part of it is, like, the son's, like, a product of his dad's. Like,
yeah.
The dad's like, I've given you everything. And, like, he almost lets him confess, which is, like, the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the son, like, wants to confess. He's like, I've done this, da-da-da. But then in the end, his dad's like, no, we're not gonna, I'm not, like, letting you ruin your life. Even though he, like, clearly already did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Yeah, no, I don't know. The son, I was just, like, come on, man, stop crying. We got to just pull like, it together pull for half a second.
Big boy panties is fine.
We got things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was really interesting, and I think slightly, like, tonally different than the rest of them.
I think so, yeah. It was less funny.
Yeah.
And more, I guess, interesting and more, like ethically, like, it's yeah. like an ethical dilemma rather than, like, someone living out a revenge fantasy or something.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Much less violent, too.
Yeah.
It's until, the, yeah. like, 2 seconds left.
Yeah, I guess, I think they were, like, they make more light of, like, people, our violent tendencies rather than, like, our tendencies to, like, I don't know how to describe it, but, like the rich guy, like, taking advantage of his position in life mm-hmm. and kind of using money to, like, that's like, an even worse instinct, I think it's trying to show. Like, the instinct to, like, protect in such a way that, like, puts you at the forefront or, like, be selfish in such a way that, like, it affects, negatively affects people who, like, have less, like, it negatively affects people who had less than him.
Yeah.
Who had less standing in the world than him.
Yeah, definitely just, like, the class distinctions, because there's a whole scene where the gardener, basically the lawyer or attorney or whatever he is, hey, I need a cut, too. And the gardener overhears that the lawyer is going to get the same amount, $500,000, as he will. And he's like, I know I have nothing, man, but I'm going to jail for a year and a half. I thought that was really interesting,
also,
too.
Also, would you go to jail for $500,000?
How long?
Okay, he said like a year and a half.
I think I can make a year and a half work for $500,000.
Honestly, I was like, I'm going to need more than that. Listen.
$500,000?
Okay, the prosecutor's getting a mil. Like,
That's true.
I'd be like, listen.
But if I had
at least a mil.
If I had no money, if I had children to take care of.
If I had children to take care of, that's more incentive for me not to go to prison for $500,000.
You could take care of your kid with the money. That's fine.
Yeah, but then, no. It's just, it's too much.
It's too
much trauma to your kids. It's too much trauma to yourself. It's too much, you're letting this, like, this dumb kid get off because he drove drunk and his parents are rich.
If
like,
someone
honestly,
offered me $500,000 to do prison for a year and a half. One, okay, I'd get in really good shape in prison, because what else am I doing? Two, I'd catch up on all the reading that I always miss
to do. Prison's just great. It's great for self-help. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Raphael and Jane the Virgin came out very zen and had a great time in prison.
Okay, first of all, spoilers.
That's not a spoiler.
I didn't know that.
You don't watch Jane the Virgin!
What if I wanted to?
Yeah, well, it's not that big. It's not really a spoiler. Yeah, I feel like I would just use the time, make some new friends.
Yeah.
Hey.
You know what? That's what I've heard. Prison's just like a relaxing spa.
Yeah.
You know, get to know, like, great people. I'm sure you get to know, but you know what I mean. Like, you know.
I feel like I've seen Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. And also, you come out of prison being convicted of killing,
you have
hitting,
money, though. You don't need a job.
$500,000 is not that much money.
It's enough to, like, get me by.
Yeah, if you have children, no.
Okay, he has a wife who works.
Okay, yeah,
all
fine.
I'm saying.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Also,
think it through.
Once again, I've seen Orange is the New Black, and I feel like if I just lay low,
it's the same. Yeah.
Be cool.
It's a very realistic
It's based
depiction.
Off of Piper, what's her name's
yeah.
book. And that's
she seems really just down to earth and observant.
Hey, all I'm saying is you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, no, I would have asked for more money, is all I'm saying. At least.
Okay, what about a mil?
Would you go
for a mil?
Smooth mil? I'd be in prison for a year and a half, maybe two.
Yeah.
First of all, you're not spending any of the money. Like,
that's
like
true.
Kids, like, you invest. Yeah, yeah, no. A mil, I'm there. Especially, like, a mil a year. How about that?
So you get
a mil
and a half, because you'd be in prison for a year
sweet.
And a half.
Awesome, there.
But if you could probably get out early for,
parole?
Like, good behavior.
Yeah, even better.
Do you still get paid if you're on parole?
Yeah! It's not, because the act is taking the fall for someone. The act is not going to prison. It's not like, I'm in prison for this long. It's like, no, I'm a convicted murderer now, so, like,
it's not a murder, it's manslaughter.
Okay.
So,
fine.
Like, less.
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay, if you say someone, I've been convicted of murder, and you say, I've been convicted of vehicular manslaughter, it's two very different things.
Either of them aren't great.
Yeah, but I'd be way more willing to get down with someone who is convicted of vehicular manslaughter. Because people
Good
make mistakes
know.
Than someone convicted of murder.
You know, you heard it here first.
I'm just saying. You gotta have your boundaries.
Vehicular manslaughter is better than murder. Okay. And then, okay, that's enough about that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the I think the last one's my favorite.
I
loved it.
One, I love the last one, because the intro, they're just blasting Titanium.
Like, why is that your wedding walking song?
One, you don't speak English.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that's why. Maybe they're like, this is a love song.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is not the song I want at my wedding. Like, maybe we'll play it, like, when people are dancing, but this is not, like, I don't get why this is my wedding song.
It's not your presentation song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, opens with Titanium.
And everyone's, like, just lit. Everyone's like, yes, wedding, love it, living.
And the bride, very happy bride and groom come into the reception hall or whatever. And are, like, giving hugs and kisses to all the friends and family. And everyone's like, take care of my daughter and all these things. Very, like, classically happy wedding scenario. And then after that, it cuts to, like, the actual reception. Everyone's having dinner. And the bride essentially sees the groom talking to some lady.
But, like, a little too familiar.
Yeah. And then you see the bride. You don't know what's happening. You see the bride call a number.
Yeah.
And you see the woman, the groom, the aforementioned woman, pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And, like, something clicks with the bride, and you're just real confused. And then she comes and, like, confronts the groom and is like, you know that, like, what does that girl have to do with your guitar teacher? And he's like, what do you mean? She's like,
it wasn't me.
And then she's like, oh, the other day when you, like, said you were talking to your guitar teacher, like, why is she picking up that number?
Yeah, she's like, I know you cheated on me.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are you going to say at my funeral?
Yeah, that you killed me.
It's one of those.
And this is all happening during their first dance.
Yeah.
And everyone's watching. And eventually he admits to have cheated on her. And things escalate from there.
She loses it. Just fully loses it.
Yeah. So she goes up to the roof and, like, the chef guy, like, consoles her. And then she ends up, like, sleeping with the chef
guy. I was like, girl, he was just being nice.
She was emotionally distraught. These things happen. And then, like, the groom finds her, and then she gives, like, one of the best speeches.
I mean, she's like, I will marry. You know what? I'm not even going to break up with you. I will marry you. And then take all that you have. And when you die first, because I'm not going anywhere, I will have everything.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was the best speech of all.
The best threatening speech. Not like, I will end you. Not like, I will marry you until you die.
I will take you for all that you are. Yeah, and then from there, things just get crazier.
Yeah.
What happens.
But I like how they end up together at the end. I thought that was really cute.
I don't know if cute's really
I thought word. It was kind of cute. Because, okay, so the whole point of the movie is, like, people giving into their, like, baser instincts. So she gives into this instinct to just be, like, horrifyingly angry. Just, like, just rage. She's, like, she,
by the way, she, like, throws the girl into a mirror.
So, yeah, they're Jewish, because apparently, that's how I figured out they were in Argentina, because they use the je. I do take Spanish. I am a Spanish
They also writer. Say Thank they're you. In Argentina.
Yeah, but, like, not a ton. And then there's also, she's Jewish, and there's a lot of Jewish people in Argentina.
Thanks for the history lesson.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah. So, yeah, they're doing, she's, like, twirling, she, like, the mistress is gonna go, and the mistress, like, kind of figures out that she knows what's up. And she's like, and the bride's like, no, we're gonna dance. And so she pulls the mistress onto the dance floor and starts spinning with her. And then she says, I forget what she says. She said something about,
it's like, you know those, like, carnival rides or something?
Yeah, when they slingshot you or something. Yeah. She was like, yeah. And so they're spinning really fast, and she just lets go, and the mistress flies into this glass wall or this mirror.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
it's like, the whole point, you're like, the whole time you're like, oh yeah, she's upset, like, this is fair, she, like, slept with some, right, like, these things happen, yeah. And then she, like, busts this girl up, and you're like, wow, 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 this took a turn,
this is much, but yeah. And so, I don't know, I really liked, and then the groom, like, breaks down, he starts, like, crying, and just, like, he loses it, yeah. And, like, everyone is, like, there's, like, the ambulance is there, like, everyone's, like, the bride is crying, the groom is crying, and then finally he goes over to the alcohol table and takes a bottle of champagne and just starts, like, chugging it,
mm-hmm.
And then he cuts himself a piece of cake and just starts eating it, and everyone in the wedding reception is like, oh my god, what's happening? And he just, like, puts his hand out for the bride, and then they start having sex. But, like,
yeah, but like, that. I didn't see any of that as cute. I just saw it as, like, horribly toxic.
Okay, I don't think it was I think the point is, like, just, like, pure emotion and pure baser instinct. So it's like had it been subtler, I think people you would have seen it as like a reconciliation. But mm-hmm. I think the point was to like just have all of these really big emotions. So it's like her anger, her betrayal, his like hurt and his feeling of like just like God, I screwed up, and yeah. like and then like they're kind of like it's like a really condensed version of like what had that played out longer. And then they get back together. They're just like, you know what? Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
It happened.
I was like a lot for me. Like, I feel like rule number one, you watch someone you're romantically involved with physically harm someone to that level, it's time to cut it.
Okay.
It's time to end things. Yeah,
okay. But I don't know. I think
it's the, once again, vehicular manslaughter versus murder. That was closer on the spectrum to murder. It was intentional.
I guess, but like, he's like, I get it. You know,
I guess it happens.
It happens. We all get mad.
Yeah, but
I think that's the point, though.
I think that's the point. Also, I didn't like the groom because there was this whole like secondary plot or whatever. They were talking about the relationship between the groom and the mother.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was real weird. The mother was too involved.
But the thing is, like, I actually really liked how they did that, though. Mm-hmm. How the mother was too involved, but you never really like no one ever says it. You just like you implicitly get their relationship from like a bunch of camera shots and like which I like. I mean, clearly show don't tell is a thing, but like yeah. It was really well done. I thought.
Yeah, I didn't like the groom, and then when he starts crying, I think I just have an issue with these guys. Not to like enforce gender norms, I think it would annoy me if it was a woman too. But when they just break down crying and can't deal with business. I'm like, you gotta stop. You gotta pull it together. This is not the time nor the place. Because, like, things are happening, and this dude just sits down and starts crying. I'm like, you gotta pull it together. You can cry later. Like, there's no time for this.
It's a stressful situation. Like, I could definitely see, like, he was very flawed. Like,
yeah.
And I think.
Wait, also, you're saying this as from the perspective of someone who says if you're walking down the aisle and the groom is crying, you're turning around.
I will.
So,
you know what?
You're going to
have to talk about me like that, though. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not crying, you're not crying is all I'm saying. But anyway, it's all I'm saying. Like, just hold it in. It'll be fine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when it's time to take, you can cry. But when it's time to take care of business, I need you to pull it together.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't have time for it.
You know what? They loved each other. At the end.
Did they though? Or were they just like lusting after each other?
I think they loved each other. I choose to believe.
It was just like
believe.
Some sort of weird foreplay. Was that whole, thing?
I choose to believe that they, like, they were in love. I think. I choose to believe that.
Yeah, well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
But. Is that the last one? Yeah, that's the last one.
That's the last one. Thoughts? General thoughts on the movie? There was another in the short one with the vehicular manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
There was that one shot. With the doors opening, I thought that was really cool. Like in the when the police were coming in the gates and it like looks through the gate and the gate opens and then you see the lawyer and the other guy. I thought that was really cool. And then they did it again in the wedding one where she's like running through the door and it like opens the door and it closes and then it opens again. Yeah. I don't know. I think another part of this movie, it was, like, very almost experimental.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, like, it took, like, not, like, per se risks, but just, like, it decided to go for more, like, risky shots or, like, interesting shots just for the sake of, I don't know, going for more interesting shots and that, like, kind of gave more movement in life.
I definitely thought that added a lot to the movie. But, yeah, in general, I enjoyed it. It was very stressful to watch.
It's a fun movie. Like, it doesn't sound fun because, like, five people die and, like things are happening. But it's, like, it has this, like, sort of sense of levity to it, which I think I attribute a little bit to the camera movement. I think to the performances and, like, that I really loved. And it was, like, a really fun watch.
Yeah. I would recommend, I didn't do this, but I would recommend watching it with other people.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, sitting in my dorm with headphones on, trying to, like, keep it down because my roommate was studying. But Like, I would recommend, because I feel like that would be really fun to watch. It'd be like, oh, snap!
Yeah, and it's, like, really good, like, discussion points, I think, throughout the movie. Like, it's, like, it gives you something to talk about, which I really liked. And this is our second Spanish language movie. We're an all-inclusive podcast here.
Wow.
Go team.
Hoy Saxa.
Hoy Saxa, you know? Men and women for others.
Yeah, no. I really enjoyed how they approached the idea of what happens when you feel wronged.
Yeah.
From so many different angles.
Yeah, I really like that. But yeah, so I was looking, there's a New York, because it was actually nominated for Best Foreign Film at the Oscars. But, yeah, the director kind of basically like, wrote these in, like, chunks. And, like, the second one, so, like, the diner one, the, I think the car one, no, the road rage one, and, like, the car one, I think were all based off of, like, personal experience, not clearly not like murder, but like yeah. like personal feelings of wrong being wronged and personal feelings that I guess he kind of like it's kind of like a revenge fantasy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Would yeah, so I thought that was interesting, and like he also kind of related the movie to a circus, so it's all tied under this one like unifying theme. But like the lion tamer, he kind of says like the lion tamer is about bravery, and like the stilt walker is about balance and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But you can you kind of see it all under one show, which I really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And I also, I just like whenever you watch, like, any Almodóvar films, or what's the name of the actual director?
His name is Damien Zifron. It's S-Z-I-F-R-O-N. Oh. So, like, I don't know how to say that. Sorry.
But I, yeah, I always enjoy the way that they, like, incorporate those same actors.
Yeah.
Too. Because yeah. Every time you feel, like, a little, like, informed and, like, cultured when you're like, oh my god, that's the therapist from
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely has, like, Almodóvar does the thing where he has, like, a lot of directors have, like, their choice. Set,
yeah.
Like, set piece actors, like, Scorsese and Leonardo.
What do you think about that, like, that idea, where in one sense I do enjoy that, but in another sense, I was listening to a podcast the other day, I don't remember what it was, but they were talking about this, where you watch, at this point with Hollywood the way it is, the reason, like, movie stars exist for a reason, because they know they'll get people in the door, so, like, the same people are playing in a million different movies, and it kind of takes away from your ability to fully remove immerse yourself. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think we're actually moving past the days of like a movie star. Like I feel like you have Leonardo, you have like I feel like now it's like the like Tom Cruise, like George Clooney, all of them are like older now, but I can't necessarily think like Jennifer
Lawrence
and the guy who directs like American Hustle.
Oh,
David Russell.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's with her, and, like, there's...
And Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. Right. But, I don't know. I feel like I like that certain directors, like, associate with certain actors, like, mm-hmm. like Michael Caine and Christopher Nolan. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I like being able to associate certain actors to certain directors, and those directors know how to get the best out of their actors, but I don't necessarily think it takes me out of it too much, because I feel like walking into certain movies, I just, like, know that's going to be a thing. Yeah. But, like, I can't, it, like, the, also, like, the directors that do that are, like, really good directors.
That's true.
So it doesn't really take me out of the film because, like, I know I'm usually in, like, pretty good hands.
I think it depends, for me, it depends. So with Almodóvar films, especially because I think since he is a foreign director and I'm not really seeing these actors on a more, like, tabloidy level, so yeah. They're not really a part of, like, my, like, they're not people I think about. But when you have something like David O. Russell and Jennifer Lawrence, like, I love David O. Russell's movies, and I think Jennifer Lawrence is an amazing actress. But when you get to a point where you watch American Hustle, you watch Joy, you watch Silver Linings Playbook, you get to a point where you're just like, I don't believe this anymore. Because, and that's not to say, like, anything against their talent, it's just... at a point, it can feel very forced to fit these people into these roles. Like, for, like, Joy, for example, is supposed to be about, like, this older woman.
Yeah.
Which, and you're like, can you just give the role to an older actress?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think it very much depends. But it is really cool to see those relationships form between directors and actors.
And it almost, like, functions as a way for the director to develop their style as well.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, Wes Anderson uses, I forget who, he uses a lot of the same people, too. Like, what's his, I can't remember his name. He's got, like, the long hair. He's in a lot of his movies. He's got the look, you know? So it helps develop, especially someone who's as stylized as Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
It helps, kind of stylistically improve and, like, add to the movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I think someone like Wes Anderson needs to work with the same actors because there aren't many actors
who could pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. It would feel too forced.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah. But back to Wild Tales.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the movie had a budget of $3.3 million, which is, like, pretty sizable. I don't know. I don't know about movie budgets. I just feel like millions of dollars is a lot, you know?
I think it's crazy to me that so much money goes into movies, but at the same time, like, makes sense.
Yeah, because cameras are expensive.
A lot of crew is involved, and they need to eat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I really like this film. Do you think it's overrated or underrated? This is,
what we should do. I don't think it's overrated at all. I guess more underrated, but I think that is coming from the perspective of an American who only watches foreign films on occasion. Yeah. And when I do watch a foreign film, it's like a pat on the back for myself. So obviously I'm not going to be able to like walk into any room that's not like a film class and be like, anyone seen Wild Tales? Yeah. And everyone's like, love that movie. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think for like the critical acclaim it's received and the nominations it's received, I think it's about on par.
I know. I think I'm glad it's, like, on the list in general, because, like, the list is very, very flawed. Like, we always talk about this, but the list is flawed, because, like, the top 10 are very, like, dude movies, and, like, it's, like, all the Batman movies, and, like, Fight Club, and, like, Shawshank Redemption.
But to be fair, those are great movies.
They are great movies, but, like, there's a very clear type of person who ranks an IMDb movie, and it comes through on the list. And so the fact that Wild Tales is on there is really, like shout out to you, IMDb. Well done. IMDb users, you did it.
I don't know. I think that's interesting too, to look at the kind of people who, one, are going to be rating things on IMDb, but also the kind of people who are going to seek out movies that they see as films.
Yeah.
Rather than simply an entertainment experience. And while those movies like Shawshank Redemption and Batman and I haven't seen Fight Club, but I'm sure Fight Club, are very entertaining, you can also appreciate them for, like, what beautiful films they are.
Yes. Yeah. So, any last thoughts?
Watch Wild Tales.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Be prepared. One thing I did not mention. I'm not a big, like, violence person, nor gore, nor any. That's why I've never seen a Tarantino movie. I just can't. My brain doesn't want to do it. I will watch it through, like, my hands the whole time, which isn't how it's meant to be viewed. If you're like me, there are, like, a couple things that, like, feel like too much, but
it's a little bit of a cutaway, though.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to see someone get stabbed or something.
It's more like you imagine them being stabbed. I would watch it for all types. Watch it with other people.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. So, new movie.
Oh, right.
We're doing a new thing now, I've decided. As editor and host of this podcast.
I had no choice in the matter.
It's fine, because it's mine. But, instead of me picking a movie, I'm going to randomize 1 through 250, and then we're going to pick a movie that way. And that way we get a wider swath of movies, and I don't have to look through the list and figure stuff out. And that way you guys can watch with, because we will decide it right now. So, I'm on a number randomizer, and we got number 219. That's real low on the list. Oh, Prisoners. Wild. Okay, this movie is crazy.
Who's in it?
I haven't seen it. It's with, like, Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
I think. I've heard of this movie.
Yeah, yes. I think mom's watched it, and she, like, loved it. So it's, like, a mom movie, but it's not, like, a mom movie.
As in our mother, not general mothers.
Yeah, but, yeah. So, next week, we'll be watching Prisoners. Join us then. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Kayla.
Make sure to subscribe to the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes. Make sure to follow the Voice at G-Town Voice on Twitter. Follow us, like, our Facebook page, like Halftime's Facebook page. Follow at GU Halftime on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I don't Twitter anymore because it's stressful. It's DNHewitt96.
Her tweets weren't that interesting anyway.
I'm hilarious.
The world isn't losing anything. Do you have any
Twitter?
I don't really tweet.
All right. Fine.
I just observe.
Okay. But yeah, so I think that's it. Bye.
Bye.
va a ser mía. Estamos casados, legalmente casados. Voy a dedicar mis días a acostarme con cada persona que me tire un mínimo de onda, con todo aquel que me dé un gramito de amor. Y cuando vos te quieras separar, voy a tomar clases de actuación para sentarme frente al juez con cara de perrito mojado y decirle que la estoy luchando, que la estoy luchando. Así nuestro matrimonio se prolonga indefinidamente. Voy a divulgar por Facebook todos tus secretos. Te voy a meter el dedo en la llaga y revolverlo hasta que llores de dolor. Vas a padecer tantas humillaciones que tu única salida va a ser subirte un banquito y tirarte por el balcón. Y ahí sí, cuando la muerte nos separe, cuando tu muerte nos separe, me voy a quedar con todo.